Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you serious?
Hello, there's many ways to kill some time out there. Right now you're killing some time with I'm Marcus Bronzy.
And me, I'm Funk Butcher.
What's going on, Funk?
Tired, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Actually, wait, before that, you can check out a lot of the stuff we talk about on the show on our website.
Yeah.
Now, the podcast is called How to Kill an Hour. Is it going to be a surprise if we tell everybody what our actual website is?
No.
It's howtokillanhour.com. What about on social media? Like Twitter. Is it going to be some underscores, forward slashes, full stops and craziness to get to us?
No.
What is it on Twitter? What? How would you find us?
How to Kill an Hour.
Okay. At How to Kill an Hour. Instagram?
How to Kill an Hour.
Facebook?
How to Kill an Hour.
Simple. So, yeah, get involved. Check us out and, yeah, check out more shows. Read about us. Everything How to Kill an Hour can be found at How to Kill an Hour. In fact, if you Google How to Kill an Hour, we are the top now.
Yes.
Since we were declassified, because we were classified as porn previously, we didn't hit the top ranks of Google because unless you type in XNXX, not that I would know, you wouldn't get porn delivered on the first page of your search results. Anyway, we've got loads to talk about in today's show. We've been killing some time with some great tech.
Yes.
We've got some very interesting developments in the technology world to discuss. But before we do that, we'd like to know how we've killed a bit of time. I'm going to ask you how you killed some time this week, Funk.
What have I been doing to kill some time? Aside from looking at some of the amazing future releases from E3 recently, video I've been watching online again and again and again. You know when you watch a trailer for a film and you literally watch the trailer continuously until the film arrives and the film is going to be due out in 2038 but you still keep watching it. This is what I'm like with the new trailer for the new Spider-Man game forthcoming on PlayStation 4, and it is absolutely amazing. The I'm sure you've seen it yourself. Spider-Man on the PS4. And literally the gameplay trailer that they showed on E3 is literally about 6 minutes long. And the movement, the fluidity, the storyline within it is absolutely crazy. It just harks back to that prediction that I've said where we're going to get to a stage where actors are going to be, like human actors are going to get X'd out, redundant. Do you know what I mean? Because what they can do with the computer these days in terms of the level of realism is... It's unprecedented. I was literally watching it and I thought to myself, this game is so captivating that literally you don't actively need to be playing it. You wouldn't, you know, when you'd sit at your friend's house and they'd be playing the game and you would be itching to kind of grab the control pad off them.
Yeah.
You can actively enjoy the experience as a spectator of this game. It is a really, really beautiful production. So I was looking forward to that.
What is it you liked about the sort of fluid mechanics of the game and stuff?
I mean, I'm a big Spider-Man fan. I'm waiting for the Spider-Man Homecoming film also. And just to see the way that they've translated, because it's always been a little bit tetchy for these computer game companies to translate a superhero into a real working title that everyone can kind of get behind. The only times I've seen any of the Marvel or the DC kind of characters incorporated into computer games successfully is during their fighting games, whether it's Marvel versus Capcom, which I'm going to go into in a minute, because that's what I downloaded. I downloaded the demo of the new Marvel versus Capcom game, just following on for the news at E3. But seeing it in a kind of working title, like a adventure, role-playing, kind of Uncharted-esque adventure, free-roaming game, like, this is amazing. So I think this is going to be one of their marquee titles for 2018.
Really?
I believe so.
I mean, people were dissing because they're... Because they were like, it's funny how people always find a way to diss a game.
Always.
But they kind of forgot the Marvelness of this character. They were like, oh, it's a good game, but he heard you can't kill anyone. I was like, Spider-Man doesn't, he's not known as a killer though, is he?
Yeah.
He's not a superhero that kills people.
No, he's very much Batman-esque in his Marvels. He does beat you up quite a fair bit, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which makes me laugh because there's a scene in the Injustice 2 trailer where Robin says to Batman, you're okay with life-threatening concussion, but you don't want to kill anyone.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, coming back from life-threatening concussion is possible. Coming back from death.
No.
Well, I'm going to say there's a very small margin of people in this world that have come back from death, but let's put it like this. Yeah. There's been a lot of people around them with some electricity in some pads, shouting clear, knowing how to do CPR with the world's best medical equipment that brings you back to life. So I'd take a concussion over death any day. So E3's Spider-Man and Marvel versus Capcom.
Yeah.
Quickly, before we move on, what excites you about this Marvel versus Capcom game? And what kind of fighting game is it? Because with these fighting games now, some of them are like... It's really weird. We can get like retro style games that are still like Street Fighter 2, which is spoken about in the show, or we can get the Injustice style kind of comic book game where it's very real. So where are we at with this?
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because this is kind of like an amalgamation of the two, because what you have is, it's not the most realistic game. Obviously, if you've ever played Marvel vs. Capcom titles, they are OTT, over the top, flashing lights. I mean, if you are a sufferer of epilepsy,
it's
not for you,
don't do
man.
It. Don't do it. Yeah.
Seriously. But in terms of the comparison to Injustice, everyone seems to be on this kind of vibe of incorporating the narrative within to the game. You know, we was playing Injustice 2, where you're watching this amazing storyline unfolding. It's like, oh shit, like, I've got to play now.
They're doing
that the same thing with this Marvel vs. Capcom. So you've literally got what did you describe it as? Injustice 2 is?
It's like I feel like it's more realistic. I feel like it's a human like representation. Like, I feel like when you're playing certain games, like it's manga you're playing.
Yeah.
And then when you play certain other fighting games, Mortal Kombat probably is one of the more real ones.
Yeah.
It's human it's human realism. There's mocap in there, there's motion capture.
But I mean, when we played it before, you termed it as an interactive
I felt like it was an interactive movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what the Marvel vs. Capcom, the new one, the Infinity game is literally the kind of the main baddie in it is Ultron from the films, and they bring together all the characters together. Some of the characters see them back to back is obviously strange, because obviously some Marvel characters are very human and realistic, and seeing them next to someone like Mega Man, he's very cartoony.
They must have struggled to make like Captain Marvel look real.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like a, I don't know, like a Chopper Chops lolly with arms and legs. He's like he's like half Transformer and half Chopper Chops lolly.
Well, this is it.
So him looking real is very hard.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when the first title came out, and I was a bit like, how can you have, I don't know, Spider-Man and next to Chris Redfield from Resident Evil in the same game? They're just two separate worlds, but that's literally kind of, they were trying to cross-pollinate their audiences.
Yeah. Has it worked? Has it made it happen?
I mean, if you can kind of look past that and try not to be that, this is going to piss off a lot of the comic book purists, because again, seeing their world messed up like that, and they're very kind of OCD about the way their characters, their favorite icons are represented, this won't be pleasing to them, but in terms of the special moves and the way it looks, it's very, very simplistic. A lot of the combos are done with just multiple one button taps because they really trying to emphasize the kind of the over the top, the grandiose combo, like 50,000 hit combos, and the screen goes white and everything like that. And the tag team transitions as well, like you can call in your partner with the shoulder buttons, and your partner kind of helps you with one of the tag team combos. But literally, it is kind of emphasizing the whole larger than light, yeah, Hadoukens, but take up half of the screen kind of thing. So a normal fireball would kind of slowly kind of travel across the screen, but the Ryu's fireball is just like this beam, this ray that covers half the screen. Yeah. So it kind of harks back to the nostalgia people felt when they first played Marvel vs. Capcom. Like, this is just like superly over the top. Because it was just a direct reboot of what you would experience in the arcade.
Yeah.
Shout out to the people that used to go to Trocadero Arcade in the West End back in the day. There was just like this arcade facility there.
Yeah.
Where you'd have games like Time Crisis. Ooh. And
House of the Dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a classic.
I mean, just times have changed, man.
Yeah.
We've got more powerful consoles at home, so why go to the arcade? Yeah,
exactly.
And pay a quid a game?
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
I'll play 60 quid and I'll play as many times as I want from home.
Exactly. This is directly kind of a representation of that over-the-top gaming.
Quick question, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you for a score out of five. I'm going to say, which Hadouken is better? The Hadoukens in this... or the Hadoukens in Street Fighter that's just come out on a Nintendo Switch that you also rate highly?
The Hadoukens in this.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
they're just...
ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're a little bit like... because it's a demo. I'm not sure if Cyclops is in it, but Cyclops' laser beam used to be... it was just irrational. It would literally take up half the screen.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Because the reason I asked you about the Hadouken, and the reason you, the listener, might be wondering that, is because... it's like if you go to McDonald's or Five Guys or Burger King, you judge it on the burger, yeah? Really, innit?
Yeah.
Fries can be a bit whack,
yeah,
but you judge it on the burger.
Yeah.
But with Street Fighter games,
yeah,
my go-to character, you're going to play as Ryu for me.
Yeah.
The way I judge it is from the Hadouken.
Yeah.
So from you saying the Hadouken is great, I'm going to say that that's a better game.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Even though I like the look of the Street Fighter on the Nintendo Switch better.
Yeah.
And you're our resident Hadouken specialist.
Yeah.
okay, fine. Cool. Fair enough. That's it. Marvel versus Capcom. And like everything we talk about in the show, there's a link in the show description you can click on that'll take you to howtokillanow.com where you can see more about it, including all the Hadoukenness.
Yeah, and just
the craziness.
That download is free on the PlayStation Store, so you can go check that out.
And the whole game or just demo at the moment?
That demo for the game, yeah.
All right, awesome. And we'll put a link to that in the show description too. So fun. I've been killing time in a totally opposite way. I've actually been killing time on this for over a week now, haven't I? Like, I've mentioned it to you a couple of times.
Yeah, I've seen the videos.
There's a couple of videos flying around because I wanted to give it a real good go to kind of... because it's the sort of thing that I feel like if I was to just hop on and hop off it, I wouldn't be able to talk about it properly. Do you know what I mean? It's like when people go to iPhone trade... well, iPhone... launch and then pick up a phone for 10 seconds and go, oh yeah, everything. And I'm like, nah, man, let's get into our reviews a little bit. So
you have to experience it.
Yes, indeed. So we got sent over a boosted board, and a boosted board is an electric skateboard that has been, it's an electric longboard. If you ever see anyone going down the street on a skateboard that looks a little bit longer and they're going really, really fast, that's what a longboard is.
So there's actually a breakdown between skateboards. So there's
A
longboard, there's a shortboard. And
oh, Matt, I don't know what the regular skateboard, I just call it a regular skateboard.
The only different one I've actually noticed is the one that looked like it had two pads and you kind of had to wiggle your feet.
Oh, the snake board.
Yeah, that's the one.
So there's different times. There's shortboards, that's where you were at, actually.
Yeah.
Cruisers, old school.
What's a cruiser?
A cruiser?
What's the one?
Because I got all the questions about I'm not a skateboard encyclopedia.
Nigerian Tony Hawk. Tell us. School us.
Google doesn't work on your phone? Okay, cool. So
what's the one Tony Hawk uses for the layman out there? Is he just on
I think he uses a shortboard.
Okay, cool.
I think he uses it.
So this would be longer than your regular Tony Hawk board?
Yes. Okay. So longer than your regular Tony Hawk skateboard.
Yeah.
Is what I'd say.
He's at the David Beckham of the skateboard. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause there's like loads of stuff. There's like rockers and climbers, depending on that's the type of bend that your skateboard had. Mate, there's loads of stuff to go through that. So I won't bore you with that, but it's an electric longboard and I feel like they're kind of on the cusp. They've been around for a little while. Mm. I feel like they're on the cusp of becoming the next hot thing in terms of traveling around. Like, you know, there was that small blast of time when we had those things that didn't even hover called hoverboards. Yeah, those can move over.
Okay.
Yeah, because the boosted board, it comes in a couple of options. Mm. It comes in the Dual and a Dual Plus. I believe that the Dual's the second version iteration of this because they've been around for a while. And the board's pretty cool. I'm not a light guy. Mm. Like, I am 16 stone. Mm. Yeah. At some of my lighter weights, I'm 15 and a half. That's about 220 pounds. Mm. And it's made out of bamboo, which is a really good board. It's a loaded board. They've hooked up some guys called Loaded. So first things first, I was worried about getting on a skateboard was, would it break in half? Seriously. I was like, if I get on it, is it just going to break in half?
Yeah.
The answer to that is no. You'll get other different kind of skateboards with
an electric breadstick,
an electric piece of plywood. Yeah. Snap. And it comes in a couple of options. So there's like the Dual and the Dual Plus. Long story short, the Dual Plus has got more juice. It packs more of a punch. You can go up higher gradients. So like, I think it's like 25 degrees uphill. You can go on it.
You can go uphill on it.
Yeah. It's an electric. That's the thing, right? So I'll quickly go through the specs. So like the Dual Plus. Gears? Yes.
Wow.
I'll explain. So like, ask me about gears in about 10 seconds. Okay. So there's like 2000 watts of power in it, 22 miles an hour top speed.
Really?
Yes. 22 miles an hour. Yeah. On a board with the breeze in your face is fast. It can climb 25% grade hills. It's got a 7 mile range with a standard battery, 12 mile range with the extended battery. Extra traction grip tape on the top, and it's only 15.5 pounds, depending on the battery type that you've got in it. Mm-hmm. So the little brother to it, the Dual's just got a little less spec, a little slower, like a little less juice in it, a little less crate in it. But yeah, the way it works, it's got this little belt that pulls around the wheels, and the motor and the battery sit under the board.
Okay, yeah.
So they're not in the way. It looks like a normal board from the top.
Yeah.
But when you're riding it, it's like, like people can hear it kind of whizzing, whirring around. And it comes with this little joypad, is what I'm going to call it. It's like a one-handed joypad, which has a trigger, like a safety trigger, which you have to hold down, otherwise it doesn't go.
Yeah.
And like a ball, like a wheel that you push forward and roll for, and it as you push it forward, it rolls forward. Now there's three settings on this.
Okay.
Slow, which is where I started.
Yeah.
A bit faster than a walk, if I'm honest. Yeah. You're still gonna, if someone's walking down the street, you're still gonna roll past them kind of fast.
That video that you've put on social media, what setting is that? Slow.
Oh, that was on slow. And it took a little ride for me to work up to medium, because I found that the way it works is it breaks by kind of going in reverse. So you know that when you're playing Super Mario Kart, when you press brake and you hold it down, if you come to a stop, you start reversing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that.
Okay.
Or like in GTA, stuff like that. It's kind of like that. Except obviously I'm not shooting Mach 10s at people and running over hookers after taking a ride on my board. But yeah, so I worked out that when I put it on medium, the braking was a bit better because the it's allowing the motor to do more.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I have put it on fast a couple of times.
Really?
And yeah, I tried it once when I first got on it. Because I'm
just looking at your knees now, because you're wearing shorts. No bumps or scrapes. Or, so you survived.
I was fine. I will say you should wear safety stuff though, because this is like, it's the cross between a motor. Like for me, it's cross between like a vehicle, because of the 22 miles an hour, I can get top speed, and like a skateboard. And coming off a skateboard, you fuck yourself up anyway. Yeah. So if you've got one that's like electric and it can go even faster, come on man, just do the right thing and wrap up. So like some of the spec in it, I was like, all right, cool. Like, all right, 7 miles. Can you really get 7 miles out of it? So I took it for a ride.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, granted, it's 7 miles on different type of terrain.
Mm-hmm.
I took it through London and I managed to get six 0.2 miles out of it or something. So
before you had to kind of recharge it.
Yeah, before the battery just died. Okay. I literally did 6.2 miles and the battery was flashing. Yeah. And I literally got to my destination, which was but like I guess 6.2.
When the battery dies, you kind of just use it like a regular skateboarder.
Yeah, I mean, if you wheel it down the chute like a regular skateboard, you get a little bit more resistance because the motor's still attached to it. Uh-huh. But you could just wheel it downhill and roll with it. But you could, like, travel into work and charge it up and ride home again. Mm. You just plug it in, put the plug in your back in a little rucksack. But yeah, you can go uphill. That's one of my favorite things is getting on it, going downhill. No one really pays attention.
Yeah.
And then it's like when you go uphill, you see drivers going, "What the fuck?" Some guy was like, "Oh, you need road tax." But so that's it, man. Like it's a really, what gets me is that it's not just like a faddy kind of thing. Yeah. Like some of the stuff that we get in the show is great, but I can't see longevity out of it. Mm-hmm. But this board, like, it's a really good board. It's got good wheels on it. If you care, it's some Kegel wheels.
Yeah.
But I think they're by Gorilla.
Okay. So what is this? Is this some kind of like CIA prototype? Is this out now?
It's out now. It exists. It's here. It's just like...
What's the price point?
Okay. So it's two versions of it, right?
Yeah.
In dollars, because it's approximately the same in pounds now, pretty much, when you work out exchange, a little bit less.
Cheers,
it's
Brexit.
$1,300 for the dual and $1,500 for the dual plus.
Okay.
So it's a lot, but you're paying for quality.
I don't think that's a lot considering how much skateboards are, like a real proper skateboard. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's not gonna be the same as if you got a little crispy, you know, £20 skateboard. But then that's the kind of skateboard that would break when I stand on it.
Well,
one that has broken when I've stood on it has been like that. But this is like I feel like it's less of a play thing, but more of a thing like in London, the roads are not the smoothest.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's going to be a bit more wear and tear on the tires on this. Mm-hmm. But I will say the average commute for somebody or their walking commute has got to be made a lot easier by using something like this.
What's the legalities on skateboarding in the City of London? Because is it a pavement thing? Is it a road thing? Like, where are you positioned?
For me personally, I'm a little bit slower on the pavement.
Okay.
Now, there's people out there that do ride on the roads. I've seen it online. I'm just not that kind of guy. I think I kind of got to an age in my life where I realised it's going to take a while for a broken bone to heal if a nutter driver pulls out on me, because I feel like the roads are dangerous because they're other people, not just me.
But I mean, I'm aware that in this country, you are not allowed to ride on the pavement with a bicycle.
Yes.
But does that, I think it's
a grey area for this.
Yeah, okay.
I think unless there's like a huge sweeping wave of people riding them all over the place, like there were with the segways, unless there's a huge sweeping wave, I don't think it's going to be a case where the government steps in.
Okay.
And I feel like with this price point, people that get it aren't just going to be stupid with it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Like if it was like a $100 board, I reckon you just have kids, like getting them from their parents, riding them around. But
that's a good point.
Yeah, man. Well, like, I was just very conscious of the power. I think this is the first time in my life I've been responsible. It's the first time I've been responsible. Like, in terms of like thinking, I just don't want to go mad with it because you can. Like, the power's ridiculous. 22 miles an hour.
Marty McFly.
I could have time traveled. I could have done what the Flash done in Injustice 2. I could have traveled so fast that I go into an alternate universe.
Go to the back of a car.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I liked it, man. I've used it a few times to whiz around. Like, so it's cool. It's to the point now where we've actually doing a video which is going to come out the same time as this podcast.
Okay.
Which we put on howtokillanow.com, which just kind of gives you a rundown of the board. You can see it. See me having a go on it.
Brilliant.
Kind of slow. Yeah. I can go faster than that now. I was looking at the video edit and I'm like, yo, Paul, who's editing the video? I'm like, yo, can you make us go a little bit faster? Can you just speed it up? it's a good board, man. And I see it as something I could use as a little commuting device, like a mini commuting device.
Brilliant.
It's a boosted board. Right, into the interesting world of tech and gadget. Oh, thank you, by the way, Boosted Boards, for sending them over to us, man.
Cheers, Boosted Boards.
Solid. So, Funk, this is something that is so you.
Yeah.
This is all you because this is your world. Twitter.
Me.
It's redesigned. It has been a few weeks since this has happened. But Twitter's looking different. Can you talk me through it, please? Because I've, at the same time, remember, I switched to another phone because I was testing it out for the show. So I was testing out a new BlackBerry. So I presume that was just how Twitter looked. So when I came back to my iPhone last week, I was like, what the hell? So what the hell's gone on with Twitter, Funk?
What they've done is obviously they changed the layout once again. They've got four icons at the bottom. Got a home button, the search, the notification buttons, and your DMs are now on the bottom right.
Okay.
So the button which they used to have to kind of access your multiple Twitter accounts if you had more than one, that's been moved up to the top left of the screen now. That's how you access that, and that's how you access your home feed as well.
Yeah.
I don't know why they keep doing this. I don't know if this is the way of kind of trying to rebrand the wheel and try to fool people as, oh yeah, it's different. We just put more spokes on it. It's different.
It's Twitter. It's not Twitter. It's Twitter Plus.
Exactly. Yeah.
Twitter S.
Twitter Lite.
Twitter S.
Twitter with less sugar.
So
I mean, I can't understand the thinking behind it. When you play around with the kind of the face of something, the whole impetus, I would believe, is to kind of add something new or take something away. But I can't see anything's missing. They haven't added any more characters in the tweets, apart from obviously the look of the I'm just really struggling to find out, you know, this feels like those sections you used to get in the newspapers and the magazines of the spot what's missing, and you're looking closely at the two images to see, like, okay, they both
the Dalmatian got 98 dots.
Exactly, they both got glasses on. Yeah, it's literally it's so it's getting a bit annoying now.
So for now, you're saying there's all this change. I mean, there's a So you feel like there's not much difference then?
I think...
Do you feel it looks better?
I didn't really have an issue with the one before. At first glance, I can see that there's probably a lot more heavier content on the kind of the magnifying glass, which kind of links you to the news section, which is kind of what they wanted to kind of push, because I feel like a lot of people are waking up in the morning.
Mm.
Rather than going to the notifications, they're hitting that second icon and take them to the news kind of thing. And...
So you think that's what they want people to be doing?
Yeah, I think they want to strengthen their audience into that. They want to funnel it into that whole news segment, because Twitter breaking news is probably the fastest news publication, media organization out there that isn't owned by Rupert Murdoch for now.
For now, yes.
Exactly.
All right, then. Well, okay, so moving forward, Twitter's made a few changes, but it's not ruined your Twitter experience. Can you still get on there and troll? I mean, tweet whenever you want to.
Yeah, of course. Okay. There's a world, there's a way.
All right, then, fair enough. So don't worry. Twitter's still here and it's with us. Speaking of using the internet in a sinister way, Fun, there's the dark web out there. We all know about the dark web. It is an ungoverned part of the web.
Yeah.
You know, like how there's in every city, there's downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you go downtown.
Yeah.
There's a little area where stuff goes on that we all know shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
But
happens. The last stop on the subway.
Oh, yes. You know what I mean? The end of the line.
The end of the line.
Mm-hmm. There's that part of the internet, the dark web. Now, we all know people can buy illicit items, you know, sex, guns, assassinations, apparently.
Yeah.
But one common thing that flies around on the dark web is people's details, their personal details. Now, we've got this information from GetKeeper, a company that actually supports people having passwords. It's a password protection device, so quite interesting they've passed this information out. But people's details get sold out there. Fact of life. Online fraud's a thing. But I want to ask you, I want to give you a quick quiz. I want to ask you how much you think specific details are worth on the dark web in pounds. Yeah? So imagine you want to buy some details to use them. For example, a Netflix password and login. How much do you think that would be on the dark web?
It's a tricky one. Because I'm guessing, how would they value it? Do they value it on
Bitcoin?
No, the value on how long you can use it for, or...
Well, okay, so put it like this. If I gave you details, I suppose once you got rumbled, it stopped working.
Okay.
All right, go on. Let's go like this, actually.
Yeah.
What do you think is one of the more expensive things? Like, the sort, what sort of personal details do you think would be the most expensive?
Probably personal details for a passport.
Yeah, close. Close. There's something that's a... Something that's really weird that's a bit... That ranks a bit higher.
Okay, well, bank account details, obviously.
A bit higher than that.
Higher than bank account details and passport.
Mm. Very personal information that isn't... You're not legally allowed to discuss. You're not legally allowed to discuss with anyone else. That's my little clue. So if you tell one person certain details about you, they are not allowed to share them with others.
Okay. Medical information.
Yeah. Apparently... £800 for a complete medical record. £800 for a complete medical record.
And that's... So people are paying more for medical records than they are...
It's weird. And
this has got to be something to do with what you can do with the medical information, I guess.
I think in America, maybe, you might be able to do a lot more...
Organs.
Yeah, you can... I don't know. Yeah, organ information. I don't know. Is that the sort of information you can use to set up... I don't know, I don't understand why. If you know, please let us know. After that, it gets a lot lower. So there's medical records from a large scale attack, which I think is a bit sick. That's a couple of quid to £8. How much do you think an email address, if I've brought it down now, so it's £1.20 to £8 for a medical record, how much do you think an email address and password is? Little Gmail, Hotmail.
In dollars?
Let's do it in quids. We're in the UK right now.
Don't know, 50p?
Yeah, that's 60p to £2.
Okay.
What do you think one of actually, we already spoke about it. What do you think is one of the cheapest things then to nick? One of the most common things? Something that most of us kind of nick off a mate anyway.
I don't know, help me out.
Netflix. I don't know why you'd go on the dark web and buy a Netflix password.
Where's Wi-Fi in that list?
What? Wi-Fi passwords. You can hack that for free.
Exactly.
Surely.
That's got to be cheap as well. That's got to be 10p.
Yeah. But a bit more information about hackers. £32 an hour is what they make on average. Not bad. Yeah.
Better than minimum wage here.
Yeah. I mean, that's a career.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a career. Interesting. PayPal credentials are £1.20. A Hulu account and a Spotify account are £2.20. Very interesting.
Mm.
It's interesting that people nick Spotify accounts, because I feel like people are so used to internet being free that to pay for anything, they're like... Anyway, let's move on. Another app that's you're in this world as well, Happy. I know you don't use it as much as Twitter, but Snapchat, there's been a lot of hype as well over the last 7 days as well about this added feature.
It. Yeah.
Can we please discuss, fuck?
From what I heard, obviously I'm not a big user of Snapchat, that they have, on the most recent update, incorporated a location finder for its users. So I'm not sure how detailed and specific it is, because you know when you use your iPhone, you take a picture on your iPhone and you go to the camera roll, it shows you where geographically you took the pictures and the videos.
They've got people for crimes of that, you know.
Really?
Yeah, because of that information that's ingrained into the picture.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
And you can't get rid of it, can you?
Nope.
Interesting.
So where there's a will, there's a way, probably. Yeah. But it's like a layman like me or you,
you
wouldn't know how to get it out.
But it seems a bit like when Instagram first did its update and it had the automatic settings on its, but you could switch them off.
I turned that off.
Yeah, but is there an off switch on this Snapchat update?
I don't have my location services on 90% of the time.
Okay.
They're on when I need them.
Yeah.
And when I have them on, I'm on the move.
Okay.
I'm not static. Okay. I'm not sitting there letting the world watch me know where I'm at. Jeez.
So how detailed? I guess it just goes down to a city though. It doesn't...
So it's very detailed because...
Really?
They bought an app called Zenly for about 250 to 250 mil.
Yeah.
And Zenly allowed you to find out what your friends were doing. So this isn't new and not robust. They've bought a company who can do this. So you can see pretty good detail. You can see, I'll do it right now. Let's do some live Snapchat mapping. Let me go.
I mean, there's a big difference between you Snapchatting and it showing your location in London as opposed to you Snapchatting and it showing your location in the...
John Smith Road.
Yeah, Tottenham Court Road in the heart of...
Yeah.
central London. I mean, how...
Oh, who can see my location on the ghost map? You actually can choose only me, ghost mode, your friends, or select friends.
Okay.
I'm in ghost mode right now, boy. And you can actually add little... So, yeah, it's well, Funk, it's down to the place. It's very tight. There's somebody in Hyde Park right now.
Really?
Yeah. And I can see exactly where in Hyde Park they are. Let's see where I am. Let's see if it looks like you can see the road. Yeah, it's pretty much to the road.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of get the... Kind of get this faux Google Map-y kind of look where they kind of cartoonize.
That's a stalker's stuff. Delight.
Yeah. You can see restaurants and stuff as well. So you can see if I was in a restaurant or a food point. And you can create stories that only certain people can see. And there's like hot spots on the map as well. So, you know, like heat spots when you look at hot areas. The red spots are where there's a lot of snaptivity. Eh?
Paranormal snaptivity.
Yeah, and then the darker, the cooler spots are where there's less snaptivity. So obviously the hot spots in the UK right now are London, is bunning up here, Birmingham and Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit, I can see where a couple of my mates are. Wow, I can see one's at home, and one's...
So let me get this straight, yeah?
Oh, and one's...
Let me get this straight.
And one's at the calf. I can see... Shout out to Nick Carter. I can see he's at his house, a DJ mate of mine. I can see that Ryan, his mate, is at the calf.
So how does it...
Shit.
Do I have to be on Snapchat for you to find my location, or do I have to snap for you to find my location?
I think if the app's working in the background using your location services, then you should be findable.
So can you find me?
Depends on your settings. Are you on, have you got open Snap though, and have you put it on?
Let me see. Let me open Snapchat now. Just do a live experiment.
Let's ask these questions. These questions need answering.
Okay. I've just opened Snapchat. Haven't taken a snap at all.
Yeah. All right. Are your location services on? And have you put on ghost mode? Basically, you go to that screen where you'd usually... Cause Frank doesn't use Snap a lot. He's a Twitter... martial artist, but you just go to your main page where you open a snap, where you're going to make a snap, and then like pinch out, and it opens the maps. If you're bored now, feel free to press plus 15 seconds a few times.
So let me check this out.
There's a lot of snapping at Buckingham Palace today. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Thorpe Park's busy today as well. Jeez.
Okay, yeah, so my location settings are on.
Yeah.
So can you see me on there?
All right, let me come out of it and then go back in again, because obviously man, that funk has just hopped in. Can't see you at the moment, but I don't know. Ooh. I don't know, Funk. I don't know what your settings are. You on ghost mode or everyone can see you?
So how do I do that? Okay.
When you first went into it, it should say, do you want to be on ghost mode?
No, that didn't come up.
Oh, click on yourself and click on settings. Like, find yourself on the map. Can you find yourself? Anyway, you're safe, Funk, then. You're safe.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, what do you think this is going to do to the world of Snap? Is this going to just be another thing that people are going to be like, oh, for fuck's
sake? I would like to get a collection of data in regards to how many divorces occur or have occurred after this update has been, because they're going to go through the roof.
I mean, I can even see now that DJ Policy is in Ibiza, our mate of ours.
Really?
Yeah, he's in Ibiza, next to Burger King. Well, not too far from it.
Really?
Yeah.
So it actually tells you what part of Ibiza he's in?
He's in Santorini right now. It's like looking at Google Maps. Santorini, and to the left of him is Burger King.
Oh my goodness.
It's crazy. But yeah, so the amount of divorces. So we need an economist on the show, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And find out how this affects how this affects the economy and relationships. But I mean, this is going to take stalking to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Where you at? I'm just chilling. Mm-hmm. Oh, really, motherfucker?
Mm-hmm.
Snap Maps says that your snaptivity is not occurring near your house.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments.
Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
We're getting too used to sharing information because before, remember, it was weird to even think about getting an Uber from somebody who's an unlicensed cab driver with an app and they're going to take your money and they're not going to rip you off.
Well, this is the thing that confuses me because there's this generation of internet users which are very, very paranoid about being followed, about being watched. But they're the very same internet users that actually have apps like this. So yeah. I don't know whether or not when push comes to shove and their favorite app does kind of incorporate something like this, they kind of succumb to the fact that this is their favorite app and it's,
that's it.
They're hooked anyway. So they're not going to, because.
So if Twitter did Twitter maps, you'd just be like, all right.
Yeah, roll with it. What can I do?
Fair enough.
The force is too strong.
I mean,
Snapchat's user base is absolutely insane. I'm probably like the 0.001% who don't use it. So I can't see folk having a problem with it. The same thing happened with WhatsApp. There was a point in time, probably around last year, around this time, where everyone was like losing their marbles because apparently there was some encrypted code in WhatsApp which allowed your certain images to kind of be used by third parties and whatnot. And everyone went off about it for literally 24 hours and then they carried on using WhatsApp again. It just shows you the strength of the brand in these situations. Yeah. These brands are very strong and they actually know it now that news circulates and gets turned over. The turnover news is so quickly that the next day, Theresa May will steal the headlines anyway, so we don't have to worry about...
What's the issue?
Exactly.
Well, it's not designed for sinister use anyway, so it's kind of, you can see
they
who's
say
in the
that.
City. Yeah. Obviously, I'm just like, it's a bit weird to for everyone to know where you're at all the time. Like, I don't know, I like a bit of privacy, but... You can like see where your friends are at. So I suppose there's a few of your mates at the park. You can message them saying, hey, what's the park like? Yeah. Let's meet up and go to the pub. Or like if I was going to Ibiza, I suppose it would be nice to know where your DJ friends are. Yeah. Go check them. But we'll see how that pans out. But for me, it feels a little bit weird. There's better ways to use tech sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, but I understand that Snapchat has struggled from being ripped off consistently.
Yeah.
Because they've always managed to stay ahead of the curve. They had stories first. They were on the filters vibe really early as well. So they have got to do stuff to stay ahead. So I get it.
Do you know what?
To keep people coming back to them and using them.
You know what troubles me though? There was an app on the iPhone when you first got it and... The app was called Find My Friends.
Yeah, is it? Yeah,
Find My Friends. Exactly. And this, and that actively had some sort of, what's the word? There was certain checks and balances in terms of who you allowed to view your location. This is a little bit more open, and I felt like when I read the news about this, that they could have made the locations a bit more localized, not as specific as it was, like at least reduce it to the borough, but not the street. And do you know what I mean? People could be outside your house, literally, and you aren't given, even when you kind of have off switches, what you've actively done is that it's like basically going, here's Marcus's postcode. Okay, he's taking it down now, but you've already seen it. So you actually know where this location or the roundabout of where this person lives. So it is a bit dangerous the way they've kind of put everything out there and then said, oh yeah, well you can take it down if you want. It's just like saying, oh yeah, there's the everything in your DMs and everything is out there now for people to see. You can turn it off if you want to, but yeah. They can't unsee what they've seen. So
okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Just the way that we share data is so interesting.
I mean, we've had so many cases before in the past of social media crimes and whatnot and like things like this. And that was before they had this kind of technology about where they could actually find a location. Now it's going to be like even more problematic.
Yeah. I mean, there's that wicked advert on TV at the moment, actually, where you see some girl who's like, hey, just chilling at mum's, outside mum's. And you see a guy like zoom in on her house number, copy it. Then you see her like, it's like, happy birthday. Like, she does birthday snaps. So the person gets her birthday details. Like 25 today.
Really?
So, yeah. Like, and you see, it's like an advert on TV. A guy copies those details. Then there's a picture where a card's in the background. Guy copies those details. And then he seen applying for a new credit card.
Wow.
It's feasible, bruv. It's feasible. And people are like, oh, I don't know. I got fraud. Like, I'm like, chill, man.
Yeah.
Be easy. And people,
Can I mention, talking of fraud, this is a very funny situation. One of our DJ colleagues in the UK, very well, probably well known also in the US, a DJ, hip hop DJ by the name of Tim Westwood.
Yeah.
He got caught slipping in the worst way you can. Via social media.
Oh, yeah.
Shouts to Tim. Yeah. Always good for the banter and the jokes. Basically, Tim's game in terms of courting ladies is a little bit different. Not different per se. It is something which is frequented by many men who operate in that tax bracket. But Tim's style is to kind of show the ladies his financial prowess.
Mm.
So what Tim Westwood did, and it was all over social media, I was crying. He basically sent a Snapchat picture of his bank card to a young prospective female who he wanted to kind of slide under the sheets with, possibly. But this Snapchat was of his bank card. Not any bank card. It was a HSBC black card. And the caption was that it was supposed to be a private Snapchat to this one female, but he put it on his main story kind of thing, so it was seen by everyone and everyone. So obviously he had to kind of cancel the card afterwards. And he jokingly put on Instagram that he was in holiday in the Caribbean and whatnot, and he had to cancel his card. Now he's got no credit cards and whatnot, so he has to wait for a new one to get sent out to him. But it just shows the dangers of hitting that wrong button. That is just like Christmas Day for the fraudulent gang out
it
there.
It is right here. Look, here's the snap. Hey, baby, looking forward to taking you to dinner on Thursday. I appreciate you want to get your nails, hair and a wax. Even some new shoes or a clutch bag. Use my card. It's black with private banking, so there's no limit, but don't be buying a new car. Shit. I like the way that you said don't be going to buy a new car. Which boosted board though.
Which she could do, because that black card has no limit, like Masterpiece record label.
Wow. So that's like a whole different, so people that were questioning Tim's money can relax now, because it's very apparent.
Yeah.
And then you know what he did come clean on Snap. He goes, so I fucked up, I accidentally Snapchat my credit card details. Had 186 screen grabs. Now I'm in Bermuda with no credit cards. I guess I got a lot of 419 boys on my Snap, scammers. I'm sneaking out of the hotel on Monday. Fucking hell.
Shout out to Tim Westwood.
Oh, man.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. That is hilarious. Well, do you know what? That's lucky that he... I like that he saw the funny side of things. Yeah. And you know what? He treats the ladies right.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself that nails, hair, and a wax. I appreciate you may want to get nails, hair, and a wax. So she ain't got nails. And he know, this is how I know Tim knows his ladies. She might not have any hair. So he's going to buy that hair. She might want to buy some nails and buy some hair.
Well, she might have hair because obviously
you want to weave that in.
She suggested that she needs a wax. So yeah, she needs hair, but just in the wrong places.
So she's got, he wants her to have more hair on her, because he's not going to ask her to get hair weaved into her pum-pum and then waxed. No, he's going to get more weave in the hair and a wax downstairs. Yeah. That's
so
what it is.
So she's bald up top, but bushy down below.
Yeah. And I hope you learn your lesson from this, listener, because if Tim can get it, so can you. So don't be Snapchatting your details. Fucking hell.
And that's the big dog.
Wow. There wasn't an accident though, Tim, was it? I don't accidentally do that.
Come on, Tim. Yeah. Tell the truth, man.
Wow. So a quick switch up.
Mm-hmm.
Wobot is something that came out. It's a robot that's AI.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a therapeutic chatbot designed and created by a team of Stanford psychologists and AI experts.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't show any personal information publicly via your newsfeed, by the way, if you use this, because it works through Facebook. Nothing put into this will be public.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And it's this session, because there's been a big discussion about mental health and the use of social media. Because I think we're in very privileged positions because we've been around before social media came to its epic state in the world. Like, it's like a... I feel like social media is like an element. Now you've got like fire, water, and social media. It's just a part of the world now, yeah?
Let's get Bruce Willis, Mila Jovovich, and redo the
fifth element.
Yeah,
it's the sixth element.
The sixth element.
It's the sixth element now, yeah. So
she has to save the world from Snapchat.
Yeah. Yeah. So long story short, all social media is depressing a lot of young people who can't seem to handle what it does, really. It's like it's a rewarding system which rewards you for likes and shares and da-da-da. And some people can't handle the way that social media can really...
Distort
reality, so you feel like your life maybe isn't as exciting as others and also make you feel neglected because other people are getting so much attention and like. Now, I know there's loads of different ways that this can happen. There's loads of other reasons that social media may or may not be good, but this is what we've discussed a lot on the show, right?
Yeah. You know what social media is like? What's that Bruce Lee film when the final fight is in the Hall of Mirrors and... and he's fighting the man with the metal hand. What is that?
The original Vega.
Yeah, the original Vega.
Oh, what is that? It's not Enter the Dragon, is it?
I think it's not Enter the Dragon. It's not Game of Death, is it?
Is it? Is it sure it's not? Is it Enter the Dragon?
It might be Enter the Dragon.
I think it might be Enter the Dragon. Anyway,
that's what it's like. That final scene, that's what social media is like. You're in a hall of mirrors, but the new generation, they can't differentiate what is the real image of themselves and the distorted image, but they're trapped in there.
Yeah,
and
so they punch the mirror and cut themselves on the glass. So somebody's decided to bounce back and say, how can we use social media to change that? And it's something called Wobot, it's a chatbot. And you sign up to it literally via Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You just search for Wobot and you talk to it in your messenger. Now, it's not a person. I actually signed up for it to have a go because I thought, fuck it, let's do it. Free for 14 sessions. I'll take 14 sessions. And then you can pay weekly for it to continue. And it kind of uses, I feel like it uses cognitive behavioral therapy. So it kind of asks you to share how you feel and reflects on you and maybe kind of just discusses the way that you feel and why you may be feeling it and ways to get around that. And
I'm looking at you and my eyes just glazed over because I'm actually absorbing what you're selling to me, the concept. It is literally like going to a counseling session as an alcoholic situated in a pub. So... people with mental health issues rooted in social media are now using an artificial intelligent robot situated on social media to help them with their problems.
Yeah, but
Jesus,
like
take the wheel.
But the thing is, though, it is like a therapist going into a bar and maybe just putting up a sign saying, hey, if you think you drink a bit too much and you want to manage it, take my number, text me, and we'll meet up somewhere outside of here on the sly. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. I can do it.
Do you get what I'm saying? Or that's how I feel it is. It's kind of like, it's not designed to say, bring you, it's like kind of saying, well, if that's where you're going to be, that's where the help needs to go. Sometimes I feel like the help needs to go to where the issue is. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, you know, if there's a youth crime culture saying, oh, it's all right, we'll just have a club up the road. Everyone, nah, you got to go in there and get people to go in, get in the mix and in certain situations. So it's good because it's free, because if you can't afford a therapist, it's pretty cool. And $12 for a month or $39, no, $12 a week, $39 a month or $312 a year. It's a lot cheaper than a real therapist. They're trialing it at Stanford at the moment. And they found that students aged 18 to 28 showed reductions in anxiety and depression when they used Wobot for 2 weeks. There's loads of information about what it does, but I'll kind of tell you how it works. It asks you how you feel. It asks you to say...
That's a good start.
It tells you how it feels. I'm great. How are you? Yeah. It asks you how you feel. So you describe how you feel, energy levels. Descriptive words, but it, because it's a chatbot, it kind of has set replies because it can't, you can't say anything to it because it's not that clever. It's not as clever as humans to understand every single conceivable kind of mixture of words.
Is it as clever as Siri?
It's much cleverer than Siri.
Okay.
But it's designed specifically for one purpose, whereas Siri, you could say, what's the weather today, find me a film, this is only going to help you out with situations that are based around sort of your mental health and how you are. And it, after using it for a week, I found that it actually took information that I put into it and showed you graphs of like your energy levels. So I was like always using it at night. So I was like, to be fair, energy levels are low. I've had a long day, chilled. And it said your energy levels have been low in these points of the week. And I asked you how you feel and shows you different ways of thinking. For example, and it doesn't do it like this, but for example, which of these sentences is a negative is the most negative sentence? I'm tired and I'm worried about my interview today, or I'm never going to get any other job in the world. Do you know what I mean? And it goes, you know, obviously, you know, the second sentence is the is the most negative one. And this is why, you know, here's how to think about things in a way. And sometimes you can project negative thoughts, which affect you, blah, blah, blah. And I feel like it's a nice touch. I feel like it's a really, really nice touch. Wobot is free. There's links to it in howtokillnow.com. If you're generally feeling a little bit down, try it. Bear in mind, this is not a real person.
Yeah.
It's not a replacement for therapy, but it's a nice thing for you to attempt.
Yeah.
And I know me and Funk have had a laugh about it and stuff like that, but I mean, it's good, man. I feel like it's there. It's there for people. And go on.
Yeah, and I mean, my laughing is purely on a surface level. I think it's very fascinating. It actually touches on an article that me, you and Billy kind of glanced over in the week.
Yes.
So this article was kind of this kind of definitely ties in with the whole Wobot situation. This article printed in the Harvard Business Review on June the 19th, and it basically says, the title of the article written by Ed Hess is, in the AI age, being smart will mean something completely different. And a lot of people thinking, what do you mean? And basically, when you think about the concept of smart and intelligence and how you measure IQ, it is based on a series of uniform tests, which are kind of, there's a general consensus around the world. If you look at institutions like Mensa and so forth, or just general intelligence quotas, everyone understands that if you say, if you go to China, or if you go to Japan, or if you go to Brazil, or go to South Africa, Ghana, Nigeria, wherever, and you say to someone, this person is this intelligent, and you back that up with their IQ level, it is generally expected that everyone understands the kind of the parameters when you kind of begin to break things down. Now, what they're saying is that in the age of AI, that's going to completely change. Because AI cannot be beaten. You are not going to beat a computer in terms of facts and intelligence, because a computer can recall information at lightning speed.
Perfectly as well.
Perfectly. But what it means is that it's exploring a new sense of how we measure intelligence and how we kind of redefine intelligence. And that is through our ability to, how can I put it? To decipher emotion, which is something which I've said before on previous episodes, AI is going to struggle with. So the creative fields, fields which need some sort of emotional sensibilities, i.e. let's say if you're breaking down sensitive news, someone's just died, a AI based system will find it very difficult to engage emotionally with the bearer and disseminate that news in a sensitive manner. That level of intelligence, as it were, hasn't been deemed as intelligence before in the past, because that's something which maybe people would class as, I don't know, common sense or I don't know, just a general awareness to how to approach different aspects of people in life. This is going to be now thrust into the realm of intelligence, because what intelligence now is going to be, what's going to happen, is going to be completely, the playing field is going to be completely leveled, because you're going to have computers which will be able to do what we do and better. So the benchmark for how we define ourselves, not only as humans, but also as intelligent, is going to have to be moved into this now emotional sphere. So it's very interesting to see how, I mean, it's going to happen, obviously, but right now, how AI, robots in general, deal with the emotional capacity, because that is a different level of intelligence, like I said, that can't be programmed or typed into.
Exactly.
If someone responds and they feel sad, there's all multiple ways you can approach that. And I guess the closest thing I could relate that to is management styles. If you had a AI that was a manager, and obviously there's different types of management styles, you could have a manager that was like a dictator, you could have a manager that's very kind of caring and like showing love through leadership through love. But knowing as and when to kind of use those management and leadership styles is requires a deeper level of an emotional intelligence. So I thought it was an amazing article which kind of like touches on the kind of battleground that is going to be fought in terms of how we lobby for our sense of worth in the workplace, in the economical environment, against machines who can do everything we can do but better. And it's not just the way their thinking capacity, obviously there's going to be robot athletes soon as well that could probably run faster than us, and there's robot machines that can lift heavier things than us. So we're literally scraping the barrel as to our sense of worth in the world that we've created, because we've created something which can obviously do things to such a high degree, it's actually making us redundant.
But do you think then, this could be a bit weird, but is this why we're getting fame from people that can connect emotionally through comedy on YouTube? Do you think this is why YouTubers are so big now? Is that because you couldn't get a computer that's as funny?
That is very interesting.
As a YouTube, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you couldn't get conversation like this with a computer at the moment.
No.
So is this why mediums like this and this sort of content is doing so well, even though we have access to loads of information we could be turning to books all the time? And we are reading a lot more. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. But I think you touched on something very, very, very important there. For me, as a young-ish man, I feel like my ability to be impressed by someone who can recall pi to the 7,000th decimal place it's not there anymore. That I'm not as impressed by that skill set as much, because again,
Rain Man.
It's because I guess that can be done.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
But again, when you look at the ability to kind of connect emotionally and show humor or show some sort of emotional vulnerability through whatever medium, again, that's probably why these the new age of celebrity kind of veers in that way, as opposed to the more academic and old school sensibilities to intelligence.
Yeah. Yo, another thing we just have to keep our eye on. You know what I mean? It's what we do here at How to Kill an Hour. We'll let you know as soon as robots can talk emotionally and get down with us. But yeah, I suppose that's why things like robot work in a limited capacity. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Anyway, so Microsoft HoloLens isn't out yet. And it's not virtual reality, it's mixed reality. It's a device that you wear, you can see the world, but you can also use computer functions that do emails, you can watch things, you can have things appearing out of things that are in front of you. It's kind of like apparently being on mushrooms. but somebody called Abhishek Singh has shown what can be done with mixed reality. He recreated Super Mario, the first level. Yes, Super Mario. He recreated it in real life. So, was it appropriate to play Super Mario music? So he created real life Super Mario. So there's a video of him literally just walking down the street playing Super Mario. Mm-hmm. He has to jump up, and he has to sort of jump on things to kill them. It's very interesting.
You can fire fireballs like the Mario that has the white dungarees on.
Yeah, he can fire fireballs.
Yeah.
So literally he's like, you know.
And it's augmented reality.
Yeah, so augmented reality. So he's playing Mario in real life.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on sort of augmented reality or mixed reality games where you actually have to go outside and run around while playing them?
Well, obviously we saw the the pandemonium, which kind of took over the world with Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
And
that was one crazy and a half.
Yeah. It was over as quickly as it started.
Yeah.
But it just showed that this is the best capacity to get people active and out their houses, because it engaged everyone, young and small, in kind of active pursuits. This is the best use of AR I've seen in a very, very long time. And obviously to see that the level that he's got it at as an independent developer, imagine if they put a few more Mario coins behind it and cranked up a notch.
I mean, this is a great idea. If you're by yourself at the park on a quiet day.
Yeah.
Imagine if everybody is playing Mario. Because when everybody was going to find a Charizard, in Central Park in New York, it was like insane.
You know the thing with this though? Obviously, you have to be a lot more active with this AR rendition of the Nintendo game.
What a sick workout this would be.
Exactly. Because you didn't have to jump and do all the madness that you have to do in this Super Mario game that you did in Pokemon Go. Yeah. Pokemon Go, you just literally look for whatever it is and it will just pop up and then you throw something. At the most, you just had to use a throw-in movement with your arms. This Mario game, you have to jump up, like you have to hit the brick wall, the brick above you to get the mushroom. You have to jump to avoid the enemy mushrooms avoiding you. There's a lot of cardio involved in this game, so you will see some pounds dropping off you if you play this game.
I think I like it. It's fun, but then like a multiplayer game like COD or something, I wouldn't mind playing a AR version of that. Well, you're running around the park.
Like, do you know what?
Go.
You know what's quite troubling? What's quite troubling is the fact that the world we live in today is not swayed by someone running and jumping randomly in the park. Because when you watch the video,
no one cares. The video, howtokillanhour.com, is up there. Yeah.
When you watch a video of this guy playing it in the park, all the passersby were just walking past him, just like, oh, look, another crazy person.
Yeah.
It's okay.
To be fair, you're in New York. A guy dressed as Super Mario jumping around the park could just be like, oh, yeah, cool. There's only other, where else would he be in? If he was in LA, yeah, he'd probably be so, he'd blend in.
Yeah.
He'd look like, oh yeah, you know, yeah. Mario, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, so very interesting. I mean, good to show the powers of augmented reality, but in terms of feasibility, nah. Like on a mass scale, nah. Like,
yeah.
It ain't fun.
Yeah.
If I'm in the park, everyone's around me. I mean, I don't know. If I could get a field and do it in, but not everyone has access to a field.
Don't tell them exercise isn't fun.
Exercise is great. No, the results of exercise and healthy eating are great.
How you get there isn't
fun. Oh, that's long. Listen. You riddle me this, Funk, yeah?
Yeah.
Football, I see all the emotions. I see sadness, happiness, injuries, injuring, all sorts. When have you ever seen a runner? And I want you to do this as a listener. When you're walking down the street, you see a runner, if you're running, mm-hmm. and you see another runner, you tell me if you ever see one smiling with joy, Or think about yourself when you're going for a run. You might be running listening to this right now.
Yeah.
When you run, have you ever been smiling, going, oh, this is amazing? Nah, never. No one that's running looks like they're having fun at all. So, and as somebody who used to run, just a little 5K every day, I can tell you there was no point where I was like, I love that run.
Yeah.
I like the effects.
Yeah.
Like I like the effects of eating healthy, but you can't tell me that a burger and chips isn't the delicious, covered in, smothered in mayonnaise and ketchup.
No, you mentioned the only person I've seen smiling once they're running is Usain Bolt.
Look at him. He's super, he's an X-Men.
It's because he knows he's won before it started.
He's an X-Men. He eats chicken nuggets before he, how can your meal prep?
Really?
He ate chicken nuggets before he broke the world record. He probably ate something that was anti-nutritional value for him. That probably slowed him down. He ate chicken nuggets. No, this is why we can't use him as a comparison, because he ate chicken nuggets and looked at the clock as he beat the world record.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Anyway, we'll move on. It'd be nice to wrap it up with this, Funk. There's a man called D. Marble, and he flew from North Carolina to Seattle. You're good, yeah, with me?
Mm-hmm.
He took a device on board called a spirit level, and he asked the pilot if he could dip the nose of the plane to compensate for the curvature, in brackets of the world, and he recorded a 23 minute and 45 second time lapse, which by those measurements mean that the plane traveled over 203 miles. And according to his spherical trigonometry, given the heliocentric model, a globe model, this should have resulted in the compensation of 5 miles of curvature. But as you'll see, there was no measurable compensation for curvature. So basically, I can give you some more gibberish if you want before I get to the summary. Would you like that? A little bit more sciencey gibberish? Most importantly, bodies of water, i.e. puddles, ponds, lakes, rivers, oceans, do not curve into a sphere. Droplets, yes. Oceans, no. The Earth is composed of 70% water. Other than waves and other ripples, the surface of that water generally lays flat. Therefore, the Earth is flat.
I knew we was getting there. I knew it.
Once a year, we need someone to do this. So the Earth is flat, Funk,
based on this guy who sounds like a West Coast battle rapper. What's his name? D Marble.
Yeah,
taking the spirit level, the most technically advanced and astute piece of DIY equipment onto a plane.
I think Einstein did use a spirit level.
Really?
Yeah. did the Nutty Professor.
I'm sure he did.
And so did Robin Williams in Flubber. He used a spirit level.
But they didn't add that Einstein used a spirit level to do his patio. not in his laboratory.
So Isaac Newton probably used a spirit level as well. Right. Bruv, why is it a thing for people so much as well? Why would you cause a conspiracy? Why would we want, if the world was flat, why would we want people to think it was round?
I mean, this is a 2017 trend. Yeah. And it absolutely annoys me, because even when people are provided with hard, concrete facts that they can't ignore. I mean, the most easiest one I always say is that if the world was flat, if you was to fly like whichever way you kind of look at it, left from Los Angeles towards Japan, let's say, then obviously it wouldn't be the same distance of time as if you flew right from Los Angeles to Japan, which means that there is a joining point as to this, the spherical nature of the Earth. You're always met with like the responses I've had to that are just
The best arguments are the ones that say, yeah, but those hard facts, how do you know that they're hard facts?
The worst one I had when I had a thread on my wall, I think you remember, on my Facebook wall, and it went on. I actually didn't think it would go on that long, but it turned out to be one of my longest threads that I've had on my own personal Facebook wall, and it kind of exposed the division of thought and opinion in regards to this subject. And literally, people were coming up with things like, how do you know the pictures of the world from NASA are real? Like, they're NASA's pictures. How do you, we haven't seen the Earth. We haven't seen the moon. How do you know? It's just like, you literally get sucked into this nonsensical argument, because it is nonsensical, because there is so much scientific law out there to... Marcus is creasing up.
I love it.
There's so much scientific law out there to prove the spherical nature of the globe. I mean, just things from tides to the orbit to seasonal change and whatnot. You can go on and on and on, just on a weather capacity that gets thrown all out. And I think it gets thrown out at the time when, if my memory serves it correct, I think a famous basketball player kind of started this all off again.
Yeah.
And then since then, because it has to be some celeb starting this.
Yeah, every single time. But I mean, I get it. People want to question stuff. But I'm just like, at the same time, I'm like, aren't there better things to question, like global warming or what else is there?
Well, people don't believe global warming is real either.
Well, people, yeah, the President of the United States thinks it's a, what did he say? It's like a just like a hoax or something. Yeah. Not a hoax, like a conspiracy theory.
Yeah. But that is an interesting one. I would love to talk more on that.
Well, whether it is. We need like a physicist on the show, don't we?
Yeah.
Or maybe we should put a poll up on How to Kill an Hour. Is the world flat?
Yeah. But I would like to see if it's possible, a scientist who does believe the world is flat. That would be interesting.
Oh, what, someone, got a credible scientist?
Yeah, someone with a real scientific background who can prove with scientific evidence that the world is flat. That would be very interesting. That might make me kind of sit up and be like, okay.
But you're trying to say that a YouTuber hasn't got the scientific prowess that you require.
Oh, sorry, was I supposed to answer that?
On that note, there's been plenty of ways to kill some time out there. I've been Marcus Bronzy.
I've been Funk Butcher.
Before we let you go, though, we will let you know that you can find out everything that we spoke about on today's show at howtokillanhour.com. And we are on all social medias. Just all search for How to Kill an Hour or at How to Kill an Hour. Anything, put How to Kill an Hour in Google, and I dare you not to find us.
And when you find us, hit follow, hit like, hit subscribe.
Exactly. Ciao.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.